Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 16th of December, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today with the news by Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Coming up in the news, getting things done in farm legislation in the new Congress. And should the monarch butterfly be declared a threatened species? HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has more rain in the forecast along with colder air. And on Friday, the markets traded lower. It was another sell-off. We have Brian Basting market analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at FFBT.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
A promise from the incoming Senate Majority Leader to get things done in the upcoming Congress, and why monarch butterflies could be sparking debates in agriculture. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Incoming Senate Majority Leader John Thune vows to kickstart legislative action on farm and other legislation next year as the GOP takes the helm in the new Congress. The South Dakota Republican complains the Senate has done little this Congress, starting with USDA and other spending bills.
11 of the 12 were reported out of the Appropriations Committee last summer, available for floor consideration. We could have had them on the floor, but like everything else, that's languished. Farm bill expired. A lot of farmers and ranchers out there wondering what's going to happen with no farm bill.
Supplemental disaster aid, another mention, was still being discussed as farmers struggle to recover from storms, drought, and low crop prices. Outgoing Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer spent much of the year focused on court nominations and reproductive issues, leaving spending decisions for last in another stopgap continuing resolution.
We're trying to get it the CR to go as long as possible. I think it'll land somewhere in the middle of March.
Thune has already released an intense schedule with the Senate in session for 10 straight weeks to start the new year, and 5 days a week most of the year.
The one thing I can tell you about next year is it's going to be different. The American people, I will tell you, this is not, the way the Senate operates today is not the way it's going to be operating in the future. We aim to fix that.
In addition to a farm bill and spending bills, the new majority plans to address border, defense, and energy priorities, and important to agriculture, a sweeping tax bill. Monarch butterflies, iconic pollinators vital to ecosystems, face a new crossroads with a move that could reshape conservation efforts and spark debate over balancing environmental protections with agricultural interests. Sabrina Halverson reports.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing to list the monarch butterfly as a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act. They are seeking public input on species-specific protections and flexibilities to encourage conservation. The proposal has received mixed responses. Texas Commissioner of Agriculture Sid Miller criticized it as federal overreach. However, Josette Lewis, Vice President and Chief Scientific Officer for the Almond Board of California, views the listing as an opportunity for growers to demonstrate agriculture's role in fostering biodiversity.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service decided to list the monarch butterfly as a threatened species, and we also have some potential native bee endangered species listings here in California. So it's an opportunity for growers to show that agriculture is part of the solution to native pollinators.
Monarch Joint Venture Executive Director Wendy Caldwell notes that while the decision marks a significant milestone in conservation, it raises complex regulatory questions due to the monarch's widespread habitat.
And so that's a lot of, I think, what the concern around the back and forth dialogue is around. What does this mean for me and my land, and since monarchs and possible monarch habitat could be really everywhere? So it's just such a complicated topic. That's why the decision, I think, as we're navigating the information that they put out in this proposal, really calls for public comment and they want to hear from all these different perspectives of how can we help shape a balance ruling that helps to further monarch conservation without becoming so restrictive that people are not going to participate at all.
The organization encourages public participation during the comment period. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Find more farm news and follow the markets throughout the day in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's farm network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through the 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualified attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save an additional 30%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here across the Hoosier State this week, we are starting very, very mild, but also a little bit drippy, a little bit wet. We saw rain develop overnight Saturday night into Sunday. It continued all day yesterday, and we're looking at Wave 2 trying to come through today. Now, Wave 2 is definitely heavier over central and southern Indiana than up north, but I still think we end up with 80% coverage of rain shower activity today, anywhere from a tenth to three-quarters of an inch. The heavier end of the range is down south. I do think that we move through this relatively quickly mid this afternoon, and by this evening, we're starting to see clouds break up. That's as cold air starts to come in with the frontal boundary passage. I think we are cooler for tomorrow, but drier with clouds and limited sunshine. This is still kind of a warm air versus cold air battle and set up warm air to the south, cold air to the north through tomorrow and into early Wednesday. That battle, I reference it because I think it triggers more precipitation at midweek. On Wednesday, I think we have to allow for wet snowflakes in the north coming out of Michigan down across the northern half of Indiana. Rain in southern Indiana. Liquid equivalent precipitation, likely half an inch or less in most parts of the Hoosier State. Very low end of that up north with the snow and probably a quarter to half inch in areas from I-70 southward. That is done overnight Wednesday night, and we are cold for Thursday. Little clipper system trying to come through the Great Lakes on Friday. Doesn't have a direct impact on Indiana, but I do think clouds will be here for Friday and maybe a few scattered snow showers in north central and northeastern parts of the state. High pressure tries to dominate into the weekend. It's an Arctic high, so I think we are very chilly for Saturday and Sunday. You get into next week, Christmas week. We start with Monday being dry and cold. We get on the backside of high pressure for Tuesday, so maybe not as cold. And that may trigger just a little bit of moisture trying to get in here overnight Christmas Eve night into Christmas Day. I do not think it's anything dramatic. A few hundreds to a tenth or two of liquid equivalent. I do think if anything comes, it will be wet snow, and I don't think it's much. We stick the warmer air farther off to the west and keep it there through the balance of Christmas week. Finally starting to see some temperature moderation here, likely Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th. That moderation could come with more moisture. So we're slowly but surely starting to see a little bit more regular precipitation trying to come across our region. Nobody's complaining at this point because we are still quite dry. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Losses to end the week in corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. I'll have all the numbers momentarily. First, let's find out why the sell-off. For that, I checked in the middle of trade with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian, a Friday sell-off as we go into the weekend. It was a full week of trade, and we had some choppy trade throughout the week. It looks like we're ending, though, on a bit of short covering in the markets. What have you seen this week?
Well, thanks for having me, Andy. I think what we're seeing here as we enter mid-December is it's turning into a weather market now in South America. We've got the USDA supply-demand report behind us here in December. I think the critical factor now, Andy, is the good weather that we're seeing forecast for Brazilian soybeans over the next 2 weeks. The vast majority of Brazilian beans are forecast to see normal or above normal precip here through the last 2 weeks of December. And not all the beans by any means are setting pods and filling pods, but up in the northern area, in Mato Grosso, for example, the largest soybean producing state, a lot of those beans will be setting pods and filling pods. And as your listeners know, when we get into August, it's do or die time for beans. And right now that the weather trends are favorable in the north, but not so much in terms of maturity-wise in the south. We're looking at January still being the critical month there, Andy, but that's pressuring the market, that potential for a good finish to the growing season in the north in Brazil, and really looking at non-bullish news. Other than we are seeing some export sales announcements from USDA come out this week to unknown destinations. Other than that, though, the pressure of that looming record harvest in Brazil is weighing on the soybean market.
Over in the corn market, a nice boost on Tuesday from USDA's World Supply and Demand Outlook numbers. And corn made its way close to 450. I don't think we quite got there, but we're not any longer in that neighborhood. How important would it be to get back to that area?
We did have a supportive USDA report on corn, Andy. We saw the USDA increase their export forecast substantially from what it was there in November, and they also increased the ethanol forecast. And when the dust had settled for the report, they reduced ending stocks 200 million bushels from what they were in November. And we saw the March contract briefly pierce through 450, as you said. The high from the October was 452 and a quarter. I believe March made it up to 451 and a quarter this week, and did not make it through this time, and has backed off since then. Moving forward, we'll see as the market regroups, as it were, a dime lower now, close to 440, if that sell-off from that higher level encourages some end users to get in here and take advantage of this break, because we did see quite a bit of farmer movement, and we saw that price dip briefly, or I should say pierce briefly, that 450 level. Cash prices in many areas are now notably above $4 to the producer, with basis improvement since harvest completed. And so I think that that weighed on the market, some hedge pressure. But as we go forward, that's going to be a target, if you will, for the market, that 450 to 460 level in March. And we'll be watching items such as the pace of export sales and shipments of corn, South American weather, specifically the first crop corn in Brazil and the corn crop in Argentina. And then, of course, we got some major USDA reports coming out on January 10th. That's a bit down the road. But, yeah, I think that this market in corn performed quite well earlier this week, but it did draw some farmer movement with that rally.
Economist Brian Basting from Advanced Trading, and we appreciate Brian's thoughts. The number there is 309-664-2314. Friday numbers down a little over a penny in the corn market. March ends at 442, a penny and a half lower. May 449 and a quarter, losing 1 3/4. 2 cents down for July at 453. January soybeans 988 and a quarter, down 7.5 cents. March contract 995, losing 8 1/4, and off 8 on the May, 1005 1/2. And March wheat 552 and a quarter, that was 6 1/4 lower. The meats higher, February live cattle, 192.02, up 117. February lean hogs, 85.60, up $1.12. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.